Hey guys, welcome to this catch-up. It's thanks to Prezi. Prezi lets you send digital gift cards from major retailers instantly in just seconds. If you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you could win a $250 gift card. Permit number LTPM160177.
Nothing beats the summer of cricket. The tension, the drama, the buzz, and other cliches. But this summer, Triple M takes Test cricket down a new path. The path of FM radio. To say we're excited at the M's is an understatement.
There's plenty of movement from middle stuff.
Now, live from Cricket HQ with the Triple MCG. Wearing the bone, the cream, the beige, the ivory is a dip of the hat to the grace. On Triple M, this is Willow Talk.
Welcome aboard night three of Willow Talk as we get you ready for Triple M's live ball-by-ball coverage of Test cricket. It starts next Thursday. So what, that's 8 days away at the Gabba. And then, of course, we're doing the Ashes next year. So we've got a lot to look forward to, but we've got a cracking hour tonight. Brad Haddin, welcome to you.
Dan, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, we had you on Monday night, and Dan Ganane here as well. And the emailers have come through, Brad. Now, we'll do this at the end of the show. We ask for emails at willowtalk@triplem.com.au. Here's the first one. I don't want you to answer this yet. This is going to be for later, but it regards when you broke into Cricket Australia's Twitter account.
I wish I was that clever.
Hang on. You admitted putting out a filthy tweet on the Cricket Australia website. We'll get to that a little bit later.
No worries.
But now that you've done a couple of shows with us, I think now sort of we've entered that period where we can stitch you up.
I know where this is going.
And my simple question is this. 2015, so 18 months ago, World Cup, Australia thumping win over New Zealand in front of 93,000 at the G. It's a wonderful win. You then, I don't know why, but one of you, Steve Smith or Buff or yourself, answers the phone and talks to a radio station. Why the hell would you do that at 7 in the morning the next day?
Oh, I think we're just obviously excited about what just happened with the...
I'm going to ask you, this is on the... I think you might have also spoken to Eddie's show, The Hot Breakfast in Melbourne, but this was the Sydney Grill team on Triple M. Do you remember this conversation?
Oh, mate, you know what? They deserved it. They were that nice to us in New Zealand, and we were that uncomfortable. They were that nice to us the whole week.
Yeah.
We said during the team meeting, I said, I can't stand for this anymore. We're going at them as hard as we can. And I said, I'm not playing cricket like this. If we get another crack at these guys at the final, I'm letting everything. And I'm not going to play another one day, because they can send me for as long as they like.
Who else is next to your heads? Who else is there?
Mate, I'll paint a picture for you now. I've got a coach who's spooning the World Cup, it's time to speak.
Yeah.
I've got James Forker, who's got his clothes off, but don't tell everyone. And I've got the Marsh boys. You know what, I can't even talk about the Marsh boys, because we know the trouble they have.
Yeah.
And I've got Josh Hazlewood from Windlemere, who, he's never been drunk in 30 years. He's a problem. We just can't get him drunk.
He's got hollow legs and bottomless pit.
Oh, that's
mate,
sensational.
He's an absolute nightmare to drink this.
Hey, Hans, listen, mate, we're going to let you get back to it, pal.
Yeah.
We appreciate your good will this morning.
You took up my time.
You sorry.
30 seconds drinking.
Mate, I thought that was a job interview. mate, that was an extraordinary night. I think there's no malice in what happened. I remember recently writing a book and they asked me to talk about that night, and I said, oh, mate, you're going to have to give me a pre-record because I have no idea what I said there. So, no, it was a good night. I think, mate, it was at top of the Langham Hotel. There was no one else around. Mate, we were just enjoying the moment. It was an amazing tournament, and to finish in front of 90,000 people was just amazing. So, yeah, that's one of my finer moments.
Well, you didn't swear. You did, because that wasn't on delay. You didn't swear. You didn't say anything too outrageous.
I was just being honest with
well done.
Yeah, about our game plan going into the final. So I was an extraordinary. That was after about 12 hours. So I'm actually quite
You're
impressed.
You're quite proud of yourself, aren't you?
I didn't swear, and you can understand what I was saying.
Speaking of Australia and New Zealand, we're going to speak about yesterday's one day. We'll do that right after this. Mitch Marsh is going to join us as well. This is Willow Talk here on Triple M.
Everything cricket. Triple M's Willow Talk.
Willow Talk here on Triple M, getting you ready for Triple M's live coverage of Test Cricket, which starts next week. Brad Haddin is here with Dan Ganane, and you were in Canberra yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was a very impressive performance by the Australians. I think that's the blueprint batting-wise, how you should play one-day cricket. I thought the openers did a really good job. David Warner just showed his class again. But the one innings I was really impressed with was the power Mitchell Marsh showed.
Mm.
It was phenomenal. Being at the ground, it's the same surface area as the MCG. And those balls weren't just hitting the fence. They were like tracer bullets. So it was just impressive to watch.
Really interesting, because Manuka is not a huge ground in terms of attendance and in terms of capacity. Kind of has that reputation as being a small venue. But is that right? MCG size?
Yeah, it's the same surface area. It's a huge ground. Out in the middle, it's a long way looking to those boundaries. But that hitting, I was sitting next to Mark Waugh at the time, and I said, mate, I haven't seen anything like this since I played with Andrew Simons. The power he had was just amazing.
And it's one of those one days where, as theatrical as you want to make it, it was once they came off after 50 overs, that game was over.
Well, I actually thought it was over when Kane Williamson won the toss and bowled. I was a bit surprised by his tactics, to be honest. The reason behind it, I think he thought the ball was going to swing and the wicket was going to offer something. But if that was the case, I would have opened with Southee and went for tried to swing the ball. But they opened with Henry, and he just hit back of a length and allowed David and Finchie to get in. So, yeah, I thought they made the wrong decision there bowling first.
It's been unusual for New Zealand, hasn't it? We don't sort of know the Kiwis, the Black Caps, as a team that self-destructs, that drops catches. Yesterday, they had something like three or four free hits, which is disgraceful in one-day cricket. But they did it in Sydney. They did it in Canberra. They just made so many mistakes.
Yeah, it's been New Zealand, like, to be honest. The one thing they pride themselves on is their fielding, the pressure they create in the field. They're usually traditionally as good as any fielding team in the world, and that hasn't been the case for the last two games. And the no balls, I think they've bowled about 6 to 8 no balls in the last two games. You just can't do that in one-day cricket.
You're a Canberra boy, so you're probably biased. Can you see Manuka as a, you know, international test venue?
Yeah, 100%. We've got a test match there in 2018 against Sri Lanka. So that's going to be a big test for Canberra. But I think they've got that off the back of their performances in the Prime Minister's game, a few World Cup games. The attendance have been amazing. They create a really good atmosphere there. And the wicket's first class. You always seen in one day, you score 300 runs, consistently plays each other.
Okay, when we have a six-test summer, should it be Canberra or should it be Hobart?
I think it should be Canberra. I think it's a great test wicket. The crowds are down at Hobart, and the weather's always concerned. So I'm biased, but I'm saying Canberra.
Pat Cummins, terrific again, 4 for 41, and Cricket Australia's made it very clear that he at this stage is a limited overs bowler, big bash one day cricket. That's it for this for this moment in time. Has he been handled correctly?
I think at what they're doing at the moment, they're just trying to baby steps towards get him right, maybe for some big series against India, and hopefully we can let him loose at the Ashes. I personally would love to see him play the next Test match, but thinking about it, it's probably not fair to him. He's gone through a long rehab period. He hasn't played four-day cricket for a long time, so it's probably not fair to him to throw him into a Test match, but what we've seen last night, I just want to see Pat Cummins playing as much as we can for Australia, because to see those three fast bowlers together, that was pretty amazing.
You know, isn't it unbelievable? It's been something like 6 years since he played his one and only test where he was a star. 6 years.
Oh, he was amazing that test. He got man of the match as a 19-year-old. So,
and that's the thing. He's still mid-20s.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of time. And also Dave Warner, his 6-ton in a year. Look, I know one-day cricket, you can sort of get lost with who's done what. That's a pretty good year. Six tons in one calendar year. That's, what was that, an Australian record?
Yeah, it was.
Well done to him.
He went past Ponting and Hayden, and they were two greats of the one-day format. So David Warner's just going from strength to strength.
And Steve Smith, what was it now, 236 runs in two games. Sensational. Do we play Maxwell on Friday? Series is over. Do we now forgive him for his sins?
I don't think we can. To be honest, there's no place in that batting order at the moment. You could probably debated that he could have come in for Head yesterday, but the way he's played in the last two games has been outstanding. And I think now Maxwell's got to wait for an opportunity, and I don't think he'll get it in Melbourne.
So you don't treat Friday as dead rubber, let's give some other guys a crack, let's just play our best team is what you're saying?
Well, we've lost 11 in a row. We lost games in a row. We lost 5-1 days in South Africa. So from that point of view, I'm playing the best team. I'm continuing on this winning momentum. I think Steve Smith's done a really good job since Hobart to get this team back to where he wants. So I'm playing the best team.
That is the voice of Brad Haddin. We're going to have plenty more, including Mitchell Marsh is going to join us shortly. This is Willow Talk on Triple M.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer, yep. The M's rock test cricket.
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M's.
Marvellous effort, that.
Willow Talk.
Triple M, this is Willow Talk. Brad Haddin here with Dan Ganane. And I just had to listen to 5 seconds of conversation between you, Brad, and our next guest, Mitchell Marsh. Everything about that 5 seconds tells me you, Brad, were a bad influence on the players. Mitchell, have I got this correct?
Careful, Mitch.
Look, I think Hads was probably the best influence I ever had in the Australian dressing room. So I've got him to thank for everything.
Well, speaking of good influences, Mitch, it's been a while since you've won a series. How was the song last night?
Oh, the song was awesome, mate. I haven't heard it for a while, so we were pretty excited to get in the rooms and we sang it very loud, so it was awesome.
Congratulations. That hitting was absolutely superb. When did you feel like, all right, it's going to happen today, I'm in the zone?
Well, I shanked my first 20 balls, so I was starting to worry a little bit because I knew Buff was probably getting a bit uptight on the sideline, but he ran a message out to me to start watching the ball, and I think when you get into an innings like that, it's just about getting one or two out in the middle, and then I just swung as hard as I could and got a bit lucky, mate.
Yeah, Mitch, what's been happening since you've been left out of the test team and now you're back in the one-day team? Did you work on anything while you're away?
It was obviously, it's a pretty tough month, and I was certainly looking forward to getting back around the group, in the one-day group. I think the biggest thing for me, when you're out of form, you sort of go searching a little bit for everything in the nets and hit a million balls, but probably the last week or two, I've just really tried to simplify it and just go as simple as I can, just watch the ball and let my natural reaction take over, so I felt really good doing that, and hopefully I can find a bit more form over the next few months.
Fellas, I want to ask you too this, Brad, because it's relevant to you as well. When you find out that you are dropped, selectors obviously make the call and then they have their press conference, what happens after that? I.e., do players ring you up, Brad? Or are you sort of, once that happens, they sort of leave you alone for a little while like you're a bad smell?
Oh, I think sometimes guys leave you alone, but for the first bit, you're angry at the world, then reality hits in. You very rarely get dropped if you're doing really well. So once you sit down and simplify things, and then after that, you can move forward about getting better. So, Mitch, I just want to talk to you about the Big Bash. You've got to remember I'm 39, so when you're coming in to bowl, make sure everything's in my half, mate, or I'll give all the stories away that we used to do on tour.
As you might have to worry about that, mate, I'll just bowl you a few slow balls. Out.
Mate, I was actually watching yesterday that you got a couple of slow balls at the end, and it looked like you grabbed your shoulder on the first swing. You missed one, and I was sitting with Mark Warner, and it looked like you hurt your shoulder, but the hitting didn't say that at the end, so you were right?
Yeah, no, the shoulder's all good, mate. I've been carrying a bit of a niggle, but when you play as much cricket as we do, you're always going to have a few niggles here and there, but it's fine, mate. Body's feeling pretty good at the moment, so just got to keep going.
Now, for those that don't know the Mitchell Marsh story, how close were you to becoming an AFL footballer?
Well, I think it was probably talked up a little bit, but I certainly did enjoy my footy. Nowadays, I like to tell everyone that I was probably a top five draft pick prospect, but deep down, I was just a tall kid, so it was probably just talked up a little bit, but always loved my footy.
What were you, a ruckman, a full forward?
I was an old-school full forward, mate. I didn't leave the front half, and I didn't do too much chasing of my defender. So
that is old-school.
Yeah, I was old-school as it, plug a locker.
Mate, was there much talk after yesterday's game about a clean sweep? You've obviously been a while since we won a series, and it's always good to rub it into the Kiwis and give them absolutely
Brad,
nothing.
Hang on, Mitch. What is it about New Zealand that you absolutely hate? I mean, we played that audio before. There is something about this particular group that you just can't stand.
Actually, with that audio before, you know one of the men who was standing right next to me at the Langham that night? Was Mitch Marsh. You should have. I think you should have interviewed Mitch Marsh and not me that night. That morning, sorry.
Mitch doesn't know. We played an interview. Brad gave an interview after the World Cup, the morning after the World Cup, and he was a mess. He handled himself reasonably well, but yes, he just gave it to New Zealand unmercilessly.
Rightly so, too, Mitch.
Well, I think the times that I played with Brad Haddon, he hated every opposition. So
I didn't like our wins that much either, Mitch.
No, you weren't a great celebrator. So
where to now? You guys are in Melbourne and ready to go?
Yeah, in Melbourne. Have a day off today and recover, and then look forward to hopefully a clean sweep. We got New Zealand in I think February over there, so. It'd be nice to win 3-0 and go over there with a lot of confidence.
Oh, that's right, because it's another Chapel Hadley series, isn't it? Is that a test series as well?
No, just 3-1 days.
That's right, because you got the Indian test series. Okay, so you've got the trophy now for the next couple of months, and then it's on the line again. Friday, MCG, plenty of tickets still available for Australia versus New Zealand. Mitch, well done last night, and good luck for the rest of the summer.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Well done, legend.
Mitchell Marsh, join it. I think there's a lot of stories there that he has that just can't, well, he's a player, can't tell them, particularly about you.
No, he can tell them. One of the things I liked most about Mitchell Marsh, and I think it's one of the reasons he stayed in that test team because everyone wanted to do so well, he's an unbelievable team man. Mm. He enjoys the good and the bad days, whether he's had them or not. He's just one of those guys that you want to do well because he's so good for the team environment. And that as an older bloke, I thought it was like same as Ricky Ponting and Matthew Hayden did with me. I thought I should have taken it on myself to show Mitchell how to celebrate a test win.
And I think you've done that rather successfully. It's the voice of Brad Haddon, Dan Ganane here. This is Willow Talk on Triple M.
The station that's always positioned at silly mid-on.
And boy, was that something to behold.
Triple M.
Superb performance, that.
This is Willow Talk.
Triple M, Willow Talk. Getting you ready for Thursday's first test. Australia-Pakistan live right here with a cast of thousands, including this man, Brad Haddon. Brad, I think you would have done exactly what Dave Warner did yesterday. The captain gets hit in the jats and he's writhing in agony. The captain. And the guy you're supposed to respect. But there's Dave Warner laughing at him, looking at him and laughing. And I reckon you would have been exactly the same.
Oh, 100%. But it's more a nervous laugh because everyone knows exactly what it feels like. I would have said, my first words would have said, mate, check if there's still two there. And if there was two there, I'd have burst out in laughter as well because it's always funny when it happens to someone else.
Isn't it amazing? Box technology has not come along. I mean, look at cricket bats now. They're twice the size. They're twice as powerful. The box pretty much is the same box from the Hector Protector is the same as it was in the 80s.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some guys now put a couple of boxes over each other to give it more protection. But
you know what's going to happen there? The skin's going to get squeezed.
You never, ever put it on your skin, ever. You put it on your skins and between your swimmers. I once seen Michael Bevan get hit and he had it on his skin and the box closed perfectly so he couldn't... He couldn't squeeze it open, and one of his friends were hanging out. It was one of the most funniest things I've ever seen. Only because it didn't happen to me.
But hang on, we've all worn board shorts or swimmers. It's not tight down there.
Yeah, you do not put it on your skin. You put your skins on first. You put the box over your skins and your speedos over the top. Do never, ever.
I played cricket for 20 years, and I never knew this rule.
Oh, that's a golden rule.
Because the worst one, if you get hit flush on the box, okay, that hurts, but there should be enough protection. It's the one where it just gets the inside of the thigh and the box and it squeezes it in and the skin gets pinched and it's dinner time. I don't know why we're talking about this, Brad.
It's actually not. That's not the worst. The worst one is if you put it on the skin and the box cracks and it closes and it catches a piece of you. It's not good to talk about.
I only brought this up because I wanted to play Dave Warner after the game. So you'd think now he's had a bit of time to sort of think about it and sort of say, oh, I didn't mean to laugh, but this is what he said.
I laughed because he laughed at me when we were hitting Adelaide, so I was just getting it back. You don't really say anything. Your first thought is you want to check your box, and it's always our first reaction not to, because you just don't want it to be squeezed on that testicle. It hurts.
Let's move on.
A lot of sympathy there.
I was going to say, he's laughing more there than he was on the field. Around the grounds, a few things that have happened in Shield cricket. Nick Maddison made 80 for New South Wales against South Australia. I think that was yesterday, that knock. Khawaja, 157. Well, his place is assured anyway. Renshaw made 38 in the first innings, and I'll just bring up his second innings for Queensland against WA. But Sean Marsh didn't play, and he's got scans tomorrow, apparently. And if he was to be quote-unquote fit, he would only have a grade cricket game in WA between now and the test. Does that rule him out of any possibility of playing?
Yeah, I think so. I think they would have liked to see him play in a first-class game. But the one thing with Nick Maddison's innings, that's a good knock to get 80. But where you have grey area about selection, if he was Usman Khawaja, for example, and got 160, we're not talking about whether Sean Marsh is coming back in for the test match.
Mm.
Nick would have went straight in. So Sean's had a tremendous 12 months, so it'll be an interesting wait to see what they do.
It's not the sort of place, the Gabba, pink ball, under lights, where you want to play your second test after not doing well in your first test, is it? That's a real challenge for the young kid.
Yeah, but it looks like he learned. It was a pink ball down in Adelaide. He came in a tough time, so he would have gained a lot of experience about that, not just on the field, but the lead-in. There would have been a lot of nervous energy. Mm. So second time around, he'll deal with that a lot better.
All right, we've got emails coming up. Couple of curly ones. You should have seen all the colour just drained out of your face.
Well, after hearing what I did during the World Cup, this could be anything.
willowtalk@triplem.com.au. And it's Brett Lee tomorrow, isn't it, who is back in the chair. So if you've got more, we had some good questions yesterday. If you've got more questions for Brett, willowtalk@triplem.com.au. But we'll get to today's emails with Brad Haddin right after this.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer, out. The M's Rock Test Cricket.
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M's.
Marvellous effort, that.
Willow Talk.
Triple M, this is Willow Talk. Just about done for another show. We're back tomorrow night in the same time slot. Brad Haddin here with Dan Ganane. Triple M, of course, your home of Test cricket starting next week. All right, are you ready for some emails?
I'm ready as I'm ever going
to
be.
Let's get to the one I warned you about earlier. This was Jenny from Mawson Lakes, actually, in South Australia, was the one that asked this. I think she knows the answer, but it's a very kind way she's asked. Is it true you once broke into Cricket Australia's Twitter account and posted something outrageous?
No, it's not true. No, that wasn't me at all. I don't know where that came from. I wish I could claim it, because I remember reading it. It was quite clever, but no.
Hang on.
I hate to disappoint you. It wasn't me.
Hang on.
I'm not even on Twitter.
We did some research on this, because Google. Once we saw that email, we saw that you admitted on Instagram or something that you broke into.
No.
It was, and you blame Shane Watson for it.
Now, I was on an Ashes, they said. I broke into the media manager, left the desk for a couple of minutes, and I hacked into his computer and started sending some tweets. No, it's not true. I'm not even on Instagram or Twitter.
The poor bugger from Cricket Australia, the digital bloke, got a hammering from people down in Australia. It was obvious it was one of the players, and you all blame Shane Watson. That's what came out. That's what was on social media. So you are here to debunk all that.
Yeah, I'm putting all that to bed now. That was nothing to do with us. It got a lot of coverage, but no, I wasn't clever enough to do that.
Okay, all right.
Or was I? Sorry, go.
Rob from... It's funny, you're not convincing. So when you spoke about the cricket and getting hit in the cags, you were convincing. That wasn't convincing at all. Hello, Brad. I'm a keeper, and I loved watching you play. What are some good excuses I can use when I drop one or miss a stumping? That's from Rob from Birkdale.
I think the stumping, the best one you can use is his bat's in your eye line. I couldn't pick up the ball. Or the kids are walking in front of the sight screen that put me off. So there are a couple you can use there with spinners. But if you're standing back, it's normally easy. So tell the captain to stop talking to you all the time. You've broken my concentration.
Okay. All right. That's nice. And finally, now this feels like a stitch-up. We can't confirm it, but it's from Steve S. in Coogee. When people would come in for the joke of the day, were they actually funny, or were you laughing out of courtesy?
No, there was actually some real funny ones. We had Mark Hughes the comedian come in and do it, and he was extremely nervous.
What was joke of the day, by the way?
It's sort of just at the start of the test match where you know how you're looking at a test team before warm-up and they come together and you think they're talking about tactics and this is how we're going to play the game? We're actually having the joke of the day. So everyone laughs and goes away, and you got the cameras over saying, oh, I think Australia's talking about this, how they're going to bowl.
Everyone's arm in arm.
Yep, 100%. So we had Hamish and Andy come in.
Yeah.
Then we had them come in individually, and they told the same joke.
Oh.
So that was, we didn't laugh to Andy, and he's looking at us, and he goes, Hamish said that, didn't he? And we go, yep.
Can you tell us the joke?
No, we turned off after. No, I can't tell you the joke.
He actually loves it. Andy is a proper cricket nut, isn't he?
Yeah, that joke was that was over in the Caribbean, my last tour. So he was over there on holidays, and we called him in for joke of the day. Well, actually lucky we got him at the start of the day, because he spent the whole day drinking Red Stripe up in the stand. So he would have been a lot funnier maybe at the end of the day.
Is it true in the West Indies, maybe they used to do this, or they do it now with the new grounds, you basically pay a flat fee, right, and it's an all-you-can-drink situation? Have I got this right?
Yeah, it is. And normally, for Barbados, for example, there's a swimming pool set up. There's the open bar where you've got your Caribs or your Red Stripe. But over there, you've got all the different types of rums.
Rums, yeah.
So by the end of the day...
in the sun.
In the 100%. But so I recommend any Australian tour group to head over there.
That's the best tour?
I think it is for them. You have some extraordinary places around the world, and there's some extraordinary place in the West Indies, but it's a good time.
And the thing with the Windies, you're right for fans, but weren't there fears, and maybe there still are, about violence in some of those places like Barbados can be pretty dangerous. So is it actually, for the players, an enjoyable tour?
Yeah, it is. Oh, there's good and bad spots, but I always enjoyed the West Indies. The travel around from island to island can be hard work. There's some hairy flights.
I can imagine.
Landing, but... For a sheer party, it's a great way to imagine paying your money and having all the rum and beer you could drink for the day, and jump in your budgie smugglers and straight in the water if you're feeling hot. So it's a good atmosphere.
We got to go. Thank you very much, Brad. I think we see you again between now and the first test. I think early next week we might have you in for a brief period. So we look forward to that. And good luck with the commentary next Thursday.
I can't wait. Thank you.
Brett Lee with us tomorrow. This has been Willow Talk on Triple M.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer,
yep.
The M's Rock Test Cricket.
Yep.
Welcome to Triple M's.
Marvelous effort, that.
Willow Talk.
Guys, thanks for joining us on this catch-up. It's thanks to Prezi Digital Gift Cards. This will become your festive season lifesaver. It makes it easy to buy for everyone on your list. So with Prezi, what you do, you buy a digital gift card. Major retailers are all there. Meijer, David Jones, JB Hi-Fi and more. So with these digital gift cards, you can have them sent instantly, straight to your friend's phone, or you can have them scheduled for later on. Great idea. So when you buy any gift card today at digitalgiftcards.com.au, you might win yourself an extra gift card worth $250, 10 of those to give away. digitalgiftcards.com.au, permit number LTPM 160-1177.